You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In his latest film, three-time Tony Award winner Frank Langella has he co-stars with Susan Sarandon, James Marsden, Liv Tyler, and a robot. The film is called Robot and Frank, and it won the Alfred P. Sloan Prize at Sundance. It opens this Friday at the Angelica Film Center in the Paris Theater, and I'm honored, as always, to welcome Frank Langella, one of the world's finest actors, back to our show. Hello.
Hi, Leonard. Nice to be back.
Now, your character's name is Frank. Was that in the original script, or did that come later?
No, it was always called Robot and Frank. And when I accepted the role, I said, I think you're going to want to change the title. And they said, no, there's something about the fact that you're Frank, and it's everybody will have an easy time remembering what to call you.
Well, Frank is Frank Weld, a retired jewel thief who's suffering from the onset of dementia. Dementia's a fear that pretty much everyone has after they reach a certain age, all those jokes about senior moments. And I suspect it's something that I know I think about it as well. Was it in the back of your mind as a personal thing while you were working this part?
No, I'm a hypochondriac, so therefore dementia is somewhere midway down my list.
Oh, really? What are you afraid of worse?
Oh, I'm never going to tell you. But I have all sorts of worries. But I had those worries in my 20s, so getting older is not such a hardship for me. I thought like an old man when I was 25 about this subject. But I've witnessed it in friends and certainly certain family members, and it is one of the saddest illnesses you can imagine. In many ways, more so than a crippling physical disease, which you can see and deal with in front of you. And my character in this has a certain degree of humor about it and a certain degree of orneriness and stubbornness about it. It's not a sentimental, sad tale at all.
Well, he's very uplifting. But he also in denial to some degree.
Yes, he's in denial because he's a cantankerous fellow who likes to steal and rob and went to prison a lot for it. And
although he no longer needs the money, but he continues to do it.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's become a kleptomaniac.
Well, it's his addiction. I know lots of people have. We know the list is very long. But being a second story man is a very particular kind of talent, and he was extraordinarily good at it, and he's happy to be back.
You once said you have to love a character to play him. And now I'm thinking about some of the characters you played in the past, Count Dracula, Richard Nixon. Loved them all?
All of them.
And what do you love about Frank?
I love his unsentimentality. I love the fact that he's not about to be suddenly, as he's getting older and beginning to slightly go in and out of obscurity and in and out of being a whole person, that he doesn't suddenly become a sentimental, sloppy old man and says to his son, you know, I've loved you all my life. I tried to be a good dad. He just stays what he is, which is sort of an ornery son of a bitch.
And he also, like many people of his generation, kind of resist technology, although he does have a smartphone. This film is taking place in the near future.
Yes.
Although we're not sure just how far in the near future it is.
Well, it's the nearer future for you and me than it is for your last guests. But, yeah, it's the near future. I would say it's 10 years out.
Where we actually could have a totally humanoid robot.
I think we can, and I think in many respects at the end of the film during the credits, you see all the different ways in which robots are being used all over the world to help people of all ages.
Now, this is an independent film made by a young director, Jake Schreiber, writer Christopher Ford. They've collaborated on a short 6 years ago or so.
Yeah, they did it at school first, and it's Jake Schreier.
Schreier?
Yeah.
Did they call you and say, we think you'd be perfect for Frank?
Yes, my agent rang and said, would you like to read it? And I did, and loved it, and said I'd like to meet with the two young men. We went up to my favorite restaurant, which is on 105th and Broadway, called Henry's, where I sort of meet everybody the first time. And we had a wonderful conversation in which I said, I would like to do your film if I may describe to you what it's like to be at 70 and what it's like to find certain things changing in your life, because they're both, at the time, 28 and 29. And to my real pleasure and amazement, we had a 2 or 3 hour meeting, and almost everything that I just talked to them about what a man in his 70s begins to feel and begins to think about everything, women, health, virility, your best years maybe being over, having had a young, great career, and now maybe, in general. And they said, we're going to incorporate some stuff and send you a script. And I fully expected it to be minor, and they did extraordinarily sensitive rewrites.
But I understand also there was a certain amount of improvisation.
Yes.
During the filming, especially with the character, the guy who plays your son, James Marsden. Mm. Because it was still important to come up with things that gave it more truth?
Well, I'm sort of evolving as a film actor.
You're evolving as a film actor?
Yes.
How many years have you been making films?
1969 was my first movie.
And when do you think you're going to get it right?
Never. I hope, true of everything. It's better to be out in the ocean swimming against the tide than it is to be home safe and unsure thinking I've got it made. And what's happening to me now in these years is a real desire to be in front of a camera, to just exist there without much pre-planning, with not too much notion of how I want to say something, how I want to look, what I want to get across. But if I believe what I'm doing, then I trust that it'll come out. So in independent films particularly, you can throw a line in, improvise, and we had 4 really, really comfortably sweet actors here, and Susan and Liv.
Well, you have had a long career in theater as well. You can't do some of those things in theater.
No, you can't.
You have to be more consistent every night.
You certainly can't ad-lib, but what you can do is maintain the feeling and the sense when you walk on the light that you've never done it before.
Well, you also, you're shooting this film on a tight budget and a very tight schedule as well. Mm. A number of actors have told me that they get annoyed when they're on the 50th retake, when they think that the first or second take was really the best they could ever do.
As I've said in a couple of interviews, when you're working on a limited budget and you only have 20 days to get this mammoth movie done and I'm in every scene, there's no time to mess it up, really. You just have to dig down deep and be as honest as you can. And I've done very big budget films like Frost Nixon and Lolita and others where those directors did 35, 40 takes, and I find it counterproductive.
Well, so some of your best work has been in independent films. I particularly like Starting Out in the Evening, for example.
Same situation, mm-hmm. 18 days, no time. And the odd thing is, if you have to do 35 or 40 takes and that's the director's desire, you do them. It's really his playpen, and you're in it to service him. But very often you'll see the movie, even Oliver Stone when we did Wall Street, doesn't do as many, maybe 15 or so. You'll ask him which take he used, and very often they'll use the first, second, or third takes.
Well, how do you do this with a movie that goes to a place that you've never been?
Well, all movies go to places I've never been, literally. But emotionally, I've been so many places, you forgive the expression, in my life and time, that I draw on all of them. And I certainly, for Frank, in this movie, could draw on a great deal.
You've been a jewel thief, and...
Yes, I certainly have been a jewel thief.
The script is full of complications of humans living with technology. Frank's estranged daughter, played by Liv Tyler, hangs up on him because of a lost connection. And Frank's son, James Marsden, asks him, what's the matter? It's only a robot. He has a resistance to the new technology. I don't remember Frank having a computer in this film.
No, I have a resistance to it, too, although my
Do you have Siri on your phone?
My kids, no. I don't even know what that is. My kids are bringing me into it. I can text at last at this ripe old age. But look, there is, no matter what happens, and we're heading for it, but there's no substitute for human interaction. There's no substitute for what you and I are doing now. There's no substitute for flesh on flesh and voice to voice and heart to heart.
Well, how does that work? Well, first of all, Frank Langella is my guest. He stars in Robot and Frank, which opens this Friday. And also in the cast are Susan Sarandon, James Marsden, Liv Tyler, and
Peter Sarsgaard does the voice.
Oh, yeah, he does the voice of the robot. But you were really acting with a – you weren't hearing his voice. You were acting with this robot, somebody in a robot costume. It must have been incredibly hot for her inside that costume.
Terribly hot, yeah.
There's no eyes giving you any reaction. There's no voice giving you any reaction. This is kind of like – working in front of a blue screen, isn't it?
No, because, in fact, I was working opposite a robot. So it wouldn't have mattered to me what voice I heard. And sometimes I didn't hear any because it was so muffled inside there. Or sometimes it was an assistant director or my nephew who was
working. Oh, they were still feeding you the lines.
Yeah, sometimes, yes. Sometimes Jake read them. But I was responding to a creature that I had created in my own head. That was so. It could have been you in there.
Well, the reason I ask this is you once told Charlie Rose it's important to listen as much as possible to your co-stars,
yes.
And that wasn't happening here. And acting is so often about reacting, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, but we're serviceable in this. I listened very hard to the robot in my head.
In some ways, the robot is Frank's antithesis. His memory is failing, and the robot keeps on improving with age, because computers can learn more and more, but both are erasable in different ways.
Well, yes, both die. A robot dies a painless death, but a human being has. A robot's mind can be wiped out in 1 second with the push of a button. Better, I think, and merciful compared to what a human who suffers from this has to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, he says, there is something surprisingly heartwarming and wonderfully funny about this situation, about this man and the situation he finds himself in with his family. I wasn't prepared for it when I saw the finished movie because it was one of the worst situations I've ever been in terms of hardship time. There's no time and the heat was unbearable. But the actors were so connected to each other, and then the story, when it's all put together, is quite moving and charming, really.
Is that something that happens often?
Yes.
Because I know a number of actors have told me, I was talking about this with Amy Adams earlier, that they'll see the finished product and they'll wonder, why was that take used rather than the take I preferred?
Or,
I didn't expect the plot to even move in that direction.
Or where did that moment that I believed was the absolute linchpin of my character in this movie go? And it's gone.
On the cutting room floor.
I've witnessed a half a dozen of my films that I thought were the epic films of our time when I was making them, like this is the Lawrence Arabia of Arabia, and I sat there barely able to keep my eyes open. So you never really do know until it's finished. So I like to see it once, maybe twice, and get a sense of it.
That's why the director and the editor is so important. Yeah, they often talk about chemistry between the star and the co-star. Develop any chemistry with this robot?
No, not at all.
So are you back to humans with your upcoming projects?
Yes, I am.
Europe, was announced today?
I'm going to Europe in just a few weeks to start a fascinating movie called Grace of Monaco, in which Nicole Kidman and Tim Roth are going to play Grace and Renier, and I'm going to play the man who brought them together, brokered their marriage, and then guided them both during very difficult times. It's being directed by a man I'm very excited to work with, Olivier de Haan, who directed Le Vion Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts, first I'm going to the Deauville Film Festival for Robot, and then that starts.
So it's mostly films these days. You miss the theater?
I just was on the stage earlier this year, remember, where you and I met and talked about Man and Boy.
Yeah.
I try to get back minimal 18 months apart if I can, and I've got something I'd like to do in 2013-14. And Chris Plummer and I did a great movie for Stephen Frears on HBO about Muhammad Ali when he was a conscientious objector, and that's going to be out next year.
Oh.
And I like working in films now more than I ever have. More than ever, I like the life of a film actor, and I like being able to try to communicate something to the audience in the smallest possible way.
Because on the stage, you have to work large. And in film, sometimes all you have to do is blink, and we understand perfectly well what you're...
I think that maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I've always tended towards the theatrical, so it's wonderful for me to begin to push away, and just get down to the pure center of something.
Dennis O'Hare was talking earlier about adjustments made in the other direction. He said when his character is thinking and he's at the Delacorte, he has to look up instead of looking down. And this is something that it goes against all of his instincts as an actor.
I think silences are actually powerful in both media. What you can do with silence on a stage is really exciting, but really what you can do with a look and just a tiny reaction in a film can say more than two paragraphs.
Frank Langella is starring in Robot and Frank. It opens this Friday at the Angelica Film Center and the Paris Theater. And it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's great to see you, Leonard. Thank you.